This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about the last day of your life. Are you ready for the last day of your life? What would you do differently today if today were the last day of your life? Friends, one day we're going to have a last day, provided that Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, and he could very well do that. We're not told when he will come. It will be unexpected. But if he should delay his coming and we live out the rest of our life, however long that will be, or short that will be, one day will be our last day. What would you do differently? What would I do differently if today were the last day that we would live? Jesus knew that he would have a last day. There were different occasions in which he told his disciples that one day he would go to Jerusalem and be delivered up, and that he would be killed. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 31. Mark 10, 34. Jesus knew that in his life and in his ministry, it was headed to a last day. I want to talk a little bit this morning on the program about how he faced his last day, what he did on his last day, and what we can learn from him about our final day. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. We could look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John with regard to Jesus' last day. I just want to focus in on the Gospel of Luke. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 22 this morning, we're going to look at a few things that Jesus did on his last day, and then we're going to talk about ourselves. What would we change? What would you change, friend, if today were your last day? With regard to Jesus, when we turn to Luke chapter 22, we find that he had a final day before going to the cross. Of course, we know that it wasn't the end of his earthly life. After 3 days, he was raised again and engaged in some more ministry for the space of about 40 days or so, and then returned back to heaven. But we're talking about the day leading up to his crucifixion. What did Jesus do? Well, Jesus taught others. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 26, "He that is greatest among you, let him become as he that serves." Verse 32, he prayed for Peter. He taught others. He prayed to God. We know that he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He wanted to follow his Father's will, and that's a great example. In fact, that's how he lived his whole life, doing his Father's will. He endured rejection when Peter came to him and betrayed him with a kiss, Luke 22:48. And then later, Peter denied him 3 times. He endured that rejection from close apostles that he had chosen. Surely there would have been disappointment there and uneasiness there, but he endured that. He endured abuse without retaliating. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 63, when he's on trial, they mocked him and beat him. They blindfolded him and asked him, "Prophesy, who is he that struck thee?" They spake against him, reviling him. The soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head and beat him. He was scourged with a whip that usually had small pieces of bone or metal in the end of it and would have lacerated the skin off of his back. He endured abuse. And Peter says in 1 Peter 2:23 that when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He could have, on his last day, said, "Well, I give up. This is my last day. I'm going to let them have it. I'm not going to act the way I need to act. This is my one last chance to act worldly and ungodly and let them have it." But he didn't. On his last day, Jesus, in his teaching, encouraged others to service. In Luke 23 and verse 26, Simon of Cyrene comes along, and they laid Jesus' cross on him. He could have miraculously carried that. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels. But he chose to go to that cross, bearing shame and scoffing, rude and humiliation. And he took what a cross takes without him miraculously trying to avoid that in some kind of way. He did that for our sins. He thought of others. In Luke 23 and verse 28, as they're going down the way to the cross, in Latin, the Via Dolorosa, the way of pain, there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who bewailed and lamented. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." And he talks about the coming destruction of Jerusalem and how they're going to have troubles a little over 30 years after this. He was thinking about others, not just himself. He forgave others on his last day when he was hanging on the cross. He said to one of his statements that he said to his father in a prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They would be forgiven later on the day of Pentecost, these same people who crucified him, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he said, "Repent and be baptized. You are the ones that have crucified this Jesus, whom the God has made both Lord and Christ, whom you crucified." He said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." And some 3,000 did that, and that's when this prayer was answered. But he's forgiving others. He's ignoring his critics while on the cross, Luke 23, 35 through 37. The robbers are scoffing at him. The people and the rulers on the ground are scoffing at him. The soldiers are mocking him. And he ignores that. He doesn't lash out to that. He doesn't give that back to them. He ignored his critics. He saved others. The thief on the cross, Luke 23, verse 43. "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise," because he had just shown his faith in him. "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." A lot of people bring up the thief on the cross and talk about how that he was saved. He was. And they say, "Well, he was never baptized." This is during a period where Christ has not died yet and the new law or the new covenant has not been enacted yet, which requires baptism for the remission of sins. That started on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That's later. This is during a period of time where people are saved without Christ baptism that he commissioned to his apostles. First of all, this thief could have been baptized with John's baptism. We don't know. But this is a period of time before Jesus dies and inaugurates the new covenant, where baptism that Jesus commanded for the Great Commission, it's not in force yet, so that's why he's not baptized. In the Gospels, when an individual shows their faith in Christ, he forgives them of their sins. They're living under the old law. They're not living under the law that requires baptism for the remission of sins. But we are, friends. That's why the thief on the cross was not baptized. But he was saved. He went to paradise with Jesus when they died. He was right with God. He would go to be in paradise. And he could say, verse 46, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He was in a right relationship with his Father. He cast all of his care on his Father. Peter talks about that. He committed himself to his Father. And the only way you can do that is to be in a right relationship with God. Peter says he committed himself to him that judges righteously. 1 Peter 2:23. On his last day, Jesus left a positive example. He was a positive role model. The centurion at the base of the cross, Luke 23:47, said, "Certainly this was a righteous man." He left a positive impression. And then we're told that he died. He gave up the ghost, crying with a loud voice. He gave up the ghost. He died. Jesus did all of that on his last day. Friends, if today were your last day, would you change anything? Would I change anything? I think we would. If we knew for certain that this was it, we would make a change. I guess there's some people who wouldn't. They're so satisfied with their life that they think they're fine. But I think you would change something. I know I would. Let's talk about some things maybe that need to be changed. And if so, why not go ahead and do that? Because today could be our last day. The Lord could come again, or we could die. One day it will be. And when I say die, I don't mean die of an old age. We could be in an automobile accident today and it'd all be over with. That happens all the time. People have massive heart attacks. They don't realize they're going to have that and die. Other situations come up where we don't live that long life that we think we're going to live. And it's over with. So if today were your last day, would you make any changes? Number one, would you clear up any matters that you need to clear up with others? Is there something that you need to clear up with a friend or family member, loved one, a spouse? In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 24, Jesus said, if you're going to offer thy gift at the altar, verse 23, "and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there the gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift." Let's apply that to our last day. Is there something that we need to go and be reconciled, some person we need to be reconciled to? Someone we need to say I'm sorry to, someone we need to say I love you to. Along the same lines, if today were your last day, is there someone you need to forgive. We cannot enter into heaven and seek God's forgiveness if we're unforgiving ourselves. Jesus said in the very next chapter, Matthew 6:12, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Verse 14, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, we're to be forgiving as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you." In Luke 17, verse 3, forgiveness is conditioned upon the person repenting. But let's assume for just a moment that the person that sinned against us has repented and they want to make a change. Are we willing to forgive them, or are we holding a grudge? Are we bitter toward them? We hope they die. We hope that something bad happens to them. We're carrying a grudge. Or are we forgiving? If we want to be forgiven by our Heavenly Father, we have to forgive others. Is there something we need to clear up with others? Is there someone that we need to forgive? If today were your last day, would you tell others the truth? There are a lot of things in life where we need to speak the truth. Maybe we've been deceitful and dishonest and lying, and we need to come clean. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, and especially we need to be telling people the truth of God's word. We won't have an opportunity to talk with them anymore. Now's the opportunity to set matters straight with regard to what the Word of God says. And we need to be like the watchman of Ezekiel chapter 3 and tell others the truth, whether they listen to it or not. In Ezekiel 3 and verse 18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his soul, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Is there somebody we need to tell the truth of God's word? We need to tell them the truth about their unscriptural marriage. We need to tell them the truth about the sinfulness of their homosexuality. We need to tell them the truth about the fornication or the adultery that they're living in. We need to tell them the truth about obeying the gospel, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We need to tell them the truth of what the Bible is. We need to tell them the truth about the church that Jesus built and not all the man-made denominations that a person could be in. Even if it's a close family member or friend or loved one, and it's hard sometimes. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, "Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" It's hard sometimes to speak the truth to others, but that's what is going to save them and make them right. Paul said that we must speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. Will you do that? Will you warn the person? If you knew that this would be your last day, and you've been holding back, why not go ahead and tell others the truth? If this were your last day, would you obey the gospel as it is presented in the New Testament? You've been procrastinating. You've been putting it off. Maybe you've heard the truth on this program, the truth that comes from the New Testament gospel, but you just keep putting it off, delaying. Almost persuaded. We sing in our songbook, almost persuaded. Almost persuaded is altogether lost, friend. We're not almost saved in the judgment day. We're altogether saved, not almost. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we're told about the terrible outcome of those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel. It's a serious thing. It's not a light thing. Paul writes in a warning manner, and we need to take it very seriously. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, turn with me there, verse 7, and to you that are afflicted, rest at the revelation of the Lord Jesus. That's his second coming from heaven with angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. That's a serious thing. I saw recently where a preacher down in Arkansas was preaching a sermon at a funeral. This is just a few weeks ago. And he was telling people that hell is not a place that you go to. Hell is just simply the bad things that are going on in your life right now. And he said, you've been bamboozled. I hadn't heard that word in a long time. It means to be fooled or deceived. He said, you've been bamboozled into thinking that hell is a place of fire, eternal fire that you go to if you're bad. No, he's been deceived himself. He's teaching people error. Paul said that when we don't obey the gospel, we will suffer punishment, eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. Jesus had more to say about hell than anybody in the New Testament. And he talks about in Mark chapter 9 how a person is cast into hell. Hell is not going on right now. It's a place that we are cast into later. And in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, some go away into eternal destruction. It's not happening right now. It's what you go away to. It is a place that we will go after the judgment day if we have not obeyed the gospel. Would you obey then if you knew that today were your last day? I hope you would. And if you're a New Testament Christian, but you are not living right, would you come back to Christ today? There are those who were once right with God. They obeyed the gospel properly, but they're not attending the church services as they should. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They're not living good moral lives. They need to come back to Christ, like Peter told Simon after he had sinned. He hadn't been a Christian very long, and he had sinned, and Peter tells him he needs to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee, for I see that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray for me to the Lord, that none of these things which you have spoken will come upon me. Do you need to come back to Christ? James talks about how that brethren need to go out and help their erring brethren to come back. If anyone among you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Do you need to come back to Christ, friend? You were once a New Testament Christian. You knew the truth. You practiced the truth. You loved God. You loved his word. But now you're not serving him like you should. Will you come back? Friend, one day we're going to have a last day. And no one of us can predict exactly when that will come. But it will come. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. It's going to happen. We cannot avoid it. And should the Lord delay his coming, we're going to die. It's an appointment we will have to keep. You cannot postpone this appointment. You cannot miss this appointment. You cannot reschedule this appointment. It is an appointment that you and I will meet. So how will you die? How will I die? In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10, Balaam talks about the death of the righteous. Will you die the death of the righteous because you're living right in the sight of God? Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. Will you die the death of the righteous? Will you die as a saint, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints? Psalm 116 and verse 15. Will you die as one of the Lord's saints? How will you die? How will I die? You determine that, friends. And knowing that we're going to have a last day, let's go ahead and clear up those matters and forgive others, tell others the truth, obey the gospel, come back to Christ, so that when that day comes, you can die the way you need to die, and that is as a faithful child of God. In Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn away from his way and live. Will you die the death of the wicked? Will you die according to faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Will you die in the Lord? Revelation 14, verse 13. Meaning dying in a faithful relationship with the Lord, as that is described in the New Testament, not just what we think or feel. How will you die? Are you ready to die like Jesus? Jesus spent his last day doing those things that we read earlier, and when he died, he could commend his spirit to his Father and go and be in paradise. Are you ready to die like Jesus died? Will you use your last day like he did? Will you die like Paul, where he talks about he would depart and be with Christ? Philippians 1, 20 through 23. And he finished the race, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, and a crown of righteousness awaited him. Friends, today could be your last day. It could be mine. Let's be right with the Lord. And if we can help you to do that, please contact us. Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Give us a call. Give us an email. Contact us. We would love to study with you. We would love to talk with you about your last day. Thank you for joining us this morning.